If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at CaliforniaPsychics.com.
We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Your guess this goes back out of the categories today, cars and kicks. First time for a few emails in the men's room at KISW.com.
You've got mail. You've got mail.
As we jump right into the birthdays brought to you by Men's Room Roasted Red Salsa from San Juan Salsa Company.
Dip responsibly.
Good day, bitches. Want to give a shout out to my spicy, smart little firecracker of a wife, Shay. She is a scuba diving engineer. Loves a good beer, fresh seafood, and is going to be a new mom in January. Listen to the show every day religiously. Love all the laughs and good vibes. So can she get some dad jokes from Miles, some cocaine Ted, Wendy Williams, and the dirty Germans talking about lady thoughts? Also, any advice you guys can give on being new parents? From your husband, Husky Nate, Taz, and soon-to-be baby, Titus.
Yeah.
Guys, what is a pig's favorite karate move?
What is it?
The pork chop. Pork chop.
Boom.
How did the vampire know he was sick?
He had his blood tested?
Coffin. And Ted, you'll be able to get this one. What do they call thrift shopping in Boston? Thrift shopping.
What?
Goodwill hunting.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Nice.
All right, well, Coach Chad doesn't have a lot of things to say about helping somebody that's pregnant, other than, I probably should have got you pregnant. I mean, that happens sometimes when you're on a Coke bench. I will say this. What you're going to do for 9 months, complete opposite. No Coke. No booze. Johnny, you can't even have coffee. That's like the lowest version of me.
Yeah, you want to talk about lady farts. Those are ones from the front. We make a little rhyme. Beef, it's what's for dinner.
Yeah, and, just seems like everything's open, so.
Yeah. Yeah, does it happen as much when you're pregnant? Does it whistle more? Does it just work its way around?
Ooh. Me and my buddy were joking around with our stupid German accents the other day in the car. And the Uber driver out of nowhere just starts speaking German.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And then we're like, I don't really speak German. I just do it on a radio show every day of the week to be smartass.
It's not even funny.
That is weird.
What was kind of weirder, too, is he was definitely an African dude that had lived in Germany for 2 years.
Oh, damn. You didn't see that coming, did you?
No.
Wow. Gentlemen, please wish my big daddy, Nasty, a happy birthday from his lovely wife, Mofa, who damn near forgot to send this in. So how about a bong rip, a couple gets from Thrill, and some random tips from Coach Ted. Happy birthday, Nathan. Serena loves you.
Yeah. Kid! Kid! Kid!
All right, I mean, I think Coach has a couple thoughts here. Number one, if your wife calls you big nasty, feels like you can pretty much do whatever you want with that woman. She's into some weird stuff, and you know the kind of weird stuff I'm talking about. The kind of stuff that Ronald McDonald's into.
What is he into?
Oh, you don't have shoes that big and red, not be a kinky SOB.
I always want to wish my beautiful girlfriend a very happy birthday. Can you give her green beans? Followed by a fart montage and the dirty Germans telling her what I'll be doing tonight. Also, just want to say thank you guys for all you do and to make the days go by faster and better. Rock on, that from Jordan.
Green bean.
What?
Green bean.
Okay.
Green bean.
Yeah.
Yeah, tonight for your wife, what you will do is watch us have birthday sex with her and make that exact noise, but out of our junk.
Yeah. So I don't know if you remember the rapper Adonix. One of the members is going to, his name's the Sing Sing we'll have tonight. His name was Sticky Fingers.
Jesus.
All right, guys, here you go.
Happy, happy, happy birthday. Happy, happy, happy birthday. Happy, happy, happy birthday to you, to you, to you.
Yaws of Dirty Germans brought to you by Men's Room Original Sausage. Available through Uli's World Famous Sausage, mensroomlive.com, and other fine retailers. Mmm, Schweinefleisch.
Thank you, Robin. Let's get a contestant online now for your guess is as good as mine, 206-803-ROCK. In the meantime, a couple extra emails. Subject, Men's Room IPA Brats from Uli's Famous Sausage. Gentlemen, I had 10 pounds of the Men's Room Brats delivered to North Dakota this week.
Nice.
Wish I could have some of those IPAs to go down with them.
Yes, you do.
That from Mark, who's listening in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Damn.
One of the states I've never been to.
I've never been to North Dakota either. I don't think I've been to either Dakota.
Now?
No, I know I haven't.
Subject, Ted, this is for you and his swamp crotch. Well, I'll be.
Oh, come on.
Ted saying he sets off the TSA alarms due to his running hot in the crotch area is actually accurate. And there is a link. It says, look, people with swamp crotch keep setting off TSA alarms. Did you read the story?
I don't know that they need to call it swamp crotch.
That's their name. That's what they called it in the article. Yeah,
from Vice.
I also don't need a Vice article to prove it. I stop, and there's a red dot down there. And they go,
they're saying that's normal.
Yeah, we got to protect you. Well, obviously, it's not normal for everybody. We got to look at you again, and I'm just like, I run hot. Got hot peas.
Well, that's probably what they call swamp crotch and not hot peas.
Yeah. I mean, you're right, but it's just always...
No, it doesn't sound flattering. I admit.
Hot peas. Do you want a separate... I don't need a separate room. There's nothing... I'm not hiding anything in there.
Besides, you know...
Subject Miles does it again. All the guys listening to the podcast on the Odyssey app. What day is it? The 18th. On that day, Miles does a Hulk Hogan impersonation. Later, Hulk dies. Miles the Reaper strikes again. Love the show. Name withheld.
Yeah, I mean,
all I said was Terry Bollea had a 5-inch penis. The Hulkster had 10.
Right. And that's according to Terry Bollea.
In court.
I know. That's amazing. Somebody has to do the court transcription, and then they have to type this out because this is a legal precedent.
Terry Bollea, he's got a 5-inch penis. Hulkster, he's rocking 12.
What inspires me?
You can't hurt him anymore, Miles.
Oh, no. I know. He said that. I'm quoting him.
No, but there's some irony that you quoted him, and then, you know, he passed away.
No, Terry's dead, and so is Hulk. No. No, that's not true. Terry Bollea's penis is dead. The 5-incher. The 10-incher is alive and well.
Did you see the cartoon? Hulk Hogan shows up at the gates of heaven?
No.
Oh, yeah. And he's got his Hulkster stuff on.
All right.
And the guy's at the pearly gates. He goes, sorry, Hulkster. Heaven's fake, too.
Oh, damn.
It's not real, huh?
No, it's not real. Who inspires me or what? Jackie Chan and Jet Li inspire me to get my black belt in karate.
All right.
As for the Marines.
Are they actual karate guys, or do they do a different form of martial art? I'm just saying, like, some guys know taekwondo. Some guys do kung fu.
No,
some guys
know karate. I'm almost positive it's pretty famous for karate.
Karate. Okay. Yes. To me, it's just a different form of ass kicking.
As far as the Marines, no one inspired me. When I was 8, I decided, hey, I'm joining. My whole life was planned for that. I went to Pakistan, got married, have 2 kids now. I am 39. Unfortunately, a severe car accident changed everything, and I wasn't able to join. I have my black belt, I'm EMT trained, and went to aviation school to fly the medevacs. Lost 10 years of my memory from that accident.
Damn. Wow.
That's from Jennifer. Yeah.
That's still pretty impressive. Also, I want to give a quick shout-out. I met a guy that had served in the Marine Corps, I think Thursday night in a bar, and he told me he was in the 1st Tank Battalion.
Right.
I said, hang on, I got to text my 2 buddies at Marines, and they just responded, 1st Tank Battalion, Fury. And then he's like, there's this movie called Fury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had never seen it.
Me neither.
I got home and watched it. It is awesome. I mean, at the end of it...
Is it based on his group, or was he involved in
this? It's not based on a true story, but it's World War II, the tank movie, Brad Pitt, and it sounds odd. It's Brad Pitt and Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah. See, take his shirt off.
I'm telling you, it is awesome. But great acting. by the end of it, I don't know if it's propaganda or I should have cried, but I was like, I don't know if I want to enlist or cry, but I got a lot of emotions going.
It's a badass movie,
dude.
It is
so good, dude.
Violent.
So basically you're saying this guy's a badass?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I mean,
I know the name of the movie. I never saw it, and I remember the actors in it.
It's worth watching. It just, you know, it's World War II and some of that tank stuff. You just forget, like, it's a lot going on.
Tank life.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. All right, time for a little Your Guess Is As Good As Mine. It's an easy game to play. You guys are playing. I'll pick from one of two categories and try to get as many right in said category before three strikes, and you are out. So, do you guys want the best or worst car brands? Or, as Kicks for Kids Day is this Thursday, the top 10 sneaker brands here in the United States?
Sneakers.
All right. Sneakers?
Yeah.
Kicks. Going Kicks? Kicks it is. You guys know how the game is played. Name as many as you can before three strikes and you're out.
I mean, Nike has to
yes.
be number one.
Number one.
I was like, let's just get that one out of the...
Easy.
Yeah. All right. Now, here's my question, right? Skechers is coming on. Hokas are coming on, but I don't know if they're dominating yet. What's the ugly ones again? Uggs. They're massive.
Yeah, but they're not sneakers.
Oh, these are specifically sneakers. Do you have Ugg sneakers?
I have Ugg sneakers. They're not going to be on this list, but I have Ugg sneakers.
All right.
Yeah. Trying to think what else.
They're very comfortable, by the way. Adidas, maybe.
New Balance is all over the place now.
Adidas.
Oh, yeah, it's a different brand.
I'm thinking about dudes. Yeah.
Like Pumas could be on there.
All these could be on there. What'd you guess?
How about New Balance?
New Balance is number three.
Okay.
The old people shoe.
I'm seeing those everywhere.
New Balance are good for people who have wide feet.
Correct. So New Balance does make some cool shoes, but that standard wider white dad shoe is still...
That's the New Balance is the shoe... of radio engineers. It used to be white Reeboks.
Okay.
Same with program directors. In jeans. Terrible look. Now it's switched over to New Balance.
I would go Adidas.
Yeah.
Number two.
I do like my Adidas.
I love them. I think they're great.
Seeing those everywhere now. Top 10. As of what? This year so far?
Sneakers, right?
Just sneakers.
I mean,
Hokas are on there.
Or Under Armour.
Under Armour's not a bad call.
They put out a lot of shoes now.
Under Armour.
Damn.
Not on the top 10. Maybe they're climbing up, you know? They're relatively new to the shoe game, probably the last 20 years.
They go back and forth, man.
So we mean we got to go more classic stuff.
Right. I'm going to say Pumas, Miles.
Puma, number six.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
They are huge around the world.
Absolutely.
I mean, they're one of the top brands in the world. Go to Europe,
Pumas everywhere.
Well, yeah, they're a massive cat.
Come on, man.
Well, man, I got gas.
I mean, you're right on Hokas only because it used to be runners.
Right.
Converse, maybe?
Then, like, my nephew got into them. I have two pairs of them now.
I don't know if they've gotten to the top 10 yet, but they're definitely climbing. But, yeah, what did you just say?
Converse.
Vans might also still be up there. I don't know if they're still cool. But
go Converse.
Converse?
Yeah.
Number four.
All right.
Got to remember Converse for affordability. They are still what they've always been.
Sure.
A cheap shoe that lasts a minimal amount of time.
Yeah. Wish they'd be a little bit cheaper.
They can be cheaper, that's for sure.
Now everybody wears them.
Everyone wears them. Are Vans considered sneakers?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Then Vans.
Number five. So far, you guys have the top six. Puma, Vans at five, Converse four, New Balance at three, Adidas two, one is Nike.
My daughter pretty much only wears Vans.
Yeah.
So we're Crocs, which are not tennis shoes, but it's Vans or Crocs, that's it.
Have we said any of the brands we said show up on there, Miles?
I mean, you guys have been talking around a lot of them, but some of you've actually picked.
All right, what about Reebok?
Reebok!
Around the world?
Not in the top 10.
And this is around the
Shocking.
World?
Shocking. No, this is the United States.
Wow.
Do we go with Hoka?
I think maybe we do, man. They're everywhere.
All right, I'm in. I'll follow you guys into the fire.
Right. Hoka.
Hoka.
Nine.
All right. Suck in.
Okay.
I feel like there's a big one that we're missing.
There's got to be.
Okay, there's one that's kind of more popular in the trail world.
Oh.
As far as running goes. Now, they're not the most popular, but they have a worldwide following. They're more of an REI.
Right.
Like in a Teva, kind of a...
Are we talking like a Timberhawk
like a
situation?
Like a Merrill world, you know what I'm saying? Like Keen. If you're looking in those areas,
yeah,
you will see this brand.
I feel like I know what it is, and I cannot think. I can picture the shoe, but cannot think of the name of the brand.
What are the kind that Miles is always wearing these days? It's not the Hokas, the other ones that he wears.
I'm wearing Olakais. They're not really popular.
No.
Because I'm cool.
I got a pair of Olakais. Yeah. Very lightweight, very comfortable.
Yeah. It's my Hawaiian representation.
We said Adidas. Reebok failed.
Crocs, I don't think count as a sneaker.
Crocs are not sneakers. We got Vans.
Doggone it. What are we missing? Like, Keds? Like, yes. are they still Jesus. A doggone thing?
I'm going to guess they're not in the top 10.
Right?
But,
okay. There's three left. You have two strikes.
Did we go Skechers?
We did not go Skechers.
Skechers.
Seven.
All right.
Eight out of the 10.
I'm trying to think, man. So I'm not a big tennis shoe guy.
Same.
So I don't pay much attention.
One is pretty strictly a running shoe. One is more of a trail running shoe.
Brooks, maybe? If Hoka's on there.
Brooks. That's what I was thinking.
Not bad, dude. Yeah. Let's go Brooks, Miles. Strike three.
Taylor Bears Brooks, not on the list. But they have a great shoe.
Give us a hit.
One has a name that's pretty close to a ski manufacturer.
Ted Rosignol. I'm trying to think of it.
You're in the ballpark.
K2s? No. I don't know ski manufacturers.
Those are the only two I know.
I got nothing for skiing, yeah.
We'll get the running shoe.
We will get the running shoe.
No, get the running shoe first.
You're it's right. not Brooks.
Nope.
It's not Hoka, but it's exclusively kind of a running shoe.
More so.
I don't know. Is there some brand? Like, are we missing, like, the toe shoes?
Nope.
Oh, God. Those things. God. So weird. The foot gloves. Cass's wife had a pair of those. She was the first person I saw wearing them. And I remember going to his house, and she came walking out to greet me. And I'm just staring at her feet like, what's wrong with your feet? She's like, they're shoes. I'm like, are you sure?
What about, like, a Timberland, Miles?
Nah.
Damn it. We're getting a handful of people saying marmots.
Oh, that's not a bad guess.
How about marmots?
They're in that family, no?
Jesus.
What else are people suggesting?
People said Columbia.
No.
Does Keith?
Oh, somebody did get it. They got one.
Oh, Fila's.
Oh, two. Yeah, there's two on
there. Oh, Fila. Yeah, Fila,
yeah,
guess.
No.
No.
No, I got
it. Damn it.
I mean, is it Keen? Because they make a hiking shoe? No.
DC's. Son of a gun.
British Knights.
No,
I'm kidding.
I'm kidding. Like K-Swiss or something?
Okay, the one you're not going to get is Salomon.
I've never even heard of it.
Salomon trail shoes? You guys don't know anything about them? Running shoes?
No.
They're huge around the world, too.
No kidding.
They're a billion dollar company.
Really?
Yes.
Damn.
So,
look these guys up.
Number 10, Salomon. Number 9 is Hoka. The one that you guys missed, Asics.
Oh, right.
Followed by
if you had said soccer shoe, that would have been my first.
7 is Skechers, Puma 6, Vans 5, Converse 4, New Balance 3. Number 2 is Adidas, and the number 1 shoe is Nike.
What is your go-to?
Adidas.
You're Adidas?
Adidas.
Ted, you're Nike, right?
Correct.
I'm Converse.
I prefer Nike myself.
Okay.
There
you go.
Kicks but for I'm... Kids Day all day Thursday on The Rock.
They probably knew all 10
donate.
Of those.
The kids get to pick out their own pair of shoes, you see.
Uh-huh.
The goal is 400 kids in brand new shoes. You can donate right now if you want. KISW.com.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill.
All right, so cut up. We'll drink a toast for the show of the day at 5:08. And we do have your headlines on the way at 5:50. But first, quick check on Mike Hawk and some of the stories and headlines he is not working on.
Well, thank you, Miles. A baby born in Virginia just set a hospital record as he was born at 23 inches long and 12 pounds, 9 ounces. We mentioned him a little bit earlier today. That's still wild to me.
And this is what their second kid and the first kid was also like 11 pounds something or 10 pounds something.
Right.
Good Lord.
I know that babies like gain the majority, like they start gaining weight exponentially as you get to those later terms. So, you know, the difference between a week, you know, when it's 2 to 3 is not a whole lot of change. But a difference between a week between 40 and 41, that's massive.
And they said he was born, what, 1 week late.
Right.
I mean, my God.
That's
you think he's even crying? Or he's just like, stop.
Get me out.
Tired of being
here. Mom, let me out of here.
God, that's the way my son was, man. It was like he was trying to part the curtains, man. We was only putting our hand on his head to keep him in there until the doctor got there. Hang on, dude. Good God, man.
I feel like I was like 2 weeks late.
Really?
I took forever, dude.
I think
I was comfy in there. I was a mama's boy.
I think I was on time, maybe a day or two late. But it's such a random, the craziest thing, the craziest thing ever. The night we conceived my daughter, which I remember vividly, my wife looked me in the eye and said, "If I get pregnant tonight, our daughter will be born on November 13th, which means I won't be able to go to my brother's wedding." This is right, and I'm like, "Yeah, I'm gonna get back to it." Our daughter was born November 13th.
No kidding.
On her brother's wedding.
She called the day.
And that's when I knew she was spooky.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, how do you... I mean, she nailed the date.
Wow.
Just like, oh my
God. Did she go to the wedding?
No, because she was giving birth to our daughter. And then everyone from the wedding, particularly her mother, kept calling. Is she born yet? And I said, do you think I'm withholding this from you? I said, go enjoy your son's wedding. We will let you know when the kid arrives. But she called probably like four or five times. And I'm looking at my wife like, I'm kind of scared today. I let your mom, man, but I'm about to. Like, seriously. And then my wife grabbed the phone. She's like, Mom, go to the grocery board and we'll call you on the baby's phone.
You are the grandparent. You are like one of the first people to know.
You absolutely are, man. Right? But yeah, she called that shot. Yeah. Mid-coitus.
I told you my cousin, I just saw Kelly. She was past her due date. And then she was like, they're going to induce me in like 4 days. So they still came to the cookout. And then, like, her husband was like, yeah, I can have, like, a beer or two, but we don't really know.
You're on call.
Yeah, you gotta be ready.
We were just laughing and joking. And then, yeah, they left at 6, and I got a text the next morning said, we had the baby at 2:50 a.m.
Damn.
So it's like, I'm like, she must have gone into labor, like, on the ride home.
Eating peppers or something like that.
I'm still taking credit, Mike. I was cooking spicy Italian sausages.
Attaboy.
There might be something to that, all right?
The inducer.
My mom was in town for the birth of the first kid, and we had gone out to dinner. I want to say it's the day before my daughter was born. And at this point, you know, my wife, she's over it. You know, it's been 9 months. Like, get it out of me. So my mother goes, look, one of the things on the menu relieves, like, spicy jalapeno something.
Oh, yeah.
So my mom said, dude, seriously, order those. You will go into labor tonight. We're like, okay.
I feel like they're
There is some science behind this. There's some pizza place that got really famous because they made this incredibly spicy pizza.
I think they called it the inducer. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why I'm still taking credit because I cooked the sausages.
It probably was, Ted.
Ted the inducer.
The Merriam-Webster word of the day. I'm going to give you each a chance to guess what it is. The Merriam-Webster word of the day is described as a synonym of both uproar and hubbub that refers to great excitement or concern about something.
What's the first letter?
B. It is a B word. A synonym of both uproar and hubbub that refers to great excitement or concern about something. Boisterous, okay. Guesses? A B word. Synonym of both uproar and hubbub.
You want to say bitch, don't you?
Brouhaha.
Oh, good, good. Good call.
Ten and a guess.
Bamboozled?
Miles, you freaking nailed it, dude. It is brouhaha.
Is it brouhaha?
Yes, that is the Merriam-Webster word of the day. I would have never gone there. Well done, sir. Authorities in Atlanta have found a...
What'd I win?
Yeah.
Not a damn thing.
Oh. I've got a list of new modern country slang that I'm trying to use.
Oh, boy.
Hit me.
Like, you know, last night I was getting a couple cocktails. I told my buddy, I said, you better watch out. I might start waking snakes in here.
What does that mean? To me, it sounds like
ruckus.
Sounds like you're going to get an erection.
Hey, you keep looking at me that way, I might have to hobble your lip.
That, I think I'd
hobble your lip. Nice.
Country tale.
Oh, yeah, but you say it in a hat, too. I'm going to have to hobble your lip now.
Daddy, what does he mean?
Jesus. Still one of my favorites, man. There's 10 bad sons of bitches in this town, and 9 of them call me sir.
Oh, damn.
Authorities in Atlanta have found a flaw with driverless vehicles. Who to give the citations to?
Exactly. It's
they
driverless,
speed?
Man.
Yeah.
Well, if they do, I mean,
they
so
speed, they run lights, they do, impede traffic.
Do the driverless cars, do they have a sensor to know to pull over if a cop puts the lights on? Or do they have to
trail
this thing until it gets to its destination?
Right.
And then you get there and there's no one in the driver's seat.
I think it's got to have some... Before you make that thing legal for the road, I think you have to have some sort of a measure in there that'll pull it over.
I would hope so.
It's got to, in my mind. It just absolutely has to. But yeah, they're saying...
But then what's the point if you can't take it?
But they're also... The authorities there are saying, like, the rules are different for the doggone things because, honestly, we don't know who to send the citation
Why
to.
Why don't you send it to the
company?
Yeah,
the company.
I mean, look, that's so negligible to that. $50 ticket. Right. I'm pretty sure this company can cover it.
That would be odd, though. You get home and the cop's there. It's like, dude, I'm not driving.
Right.
I'm
not doing it.
I'm not. Yes, I told it to speed.
Right.
But
faster.
Yeah.
There are arguments being made that GLP-1 drugs could become the everything drug.
What is GLP-1?
That's
like your Ozempics.
Right.
Okay, all right.
Which, you know, the thing with Ozempic, like, it was originally like a type 2 diabetes drug, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And they found not just weight loss, but there was actually a handful of other decent benefits to GLP-1. So like, this might become the new Tylenol.
Damn. All right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take it, but yeah.
I'm with
it. I forget one of them they said, like, was really helping people's livers, too. That I had, like, non-alcoholic fatty liver from eating bad stuff.
Damn. But there wasn't the intent of the drug.
Correct.
It kind of cracks you. You know, you try to develop a drug for a thing, and a lot of times it works out that way, but you develop a drug for a thing because it helps with this, and then you find out it has all of these other benefits that you weren't even looking at.
I mean, in theory, though, right, it's supposed to help with type 2 diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
So you figure whatever's in it is already kind of trying to revert. You know, that's why it's like,
right,
it makes
right.
sense it would help with weight loss or help kind of repair certain organs as sure. well, because, right, because you... Right, type 2 is generally you've eaten enough.
You've eaten yourself into that, yeah.
Yeah, and that's reversible as well if you change everything.
That's right. A new doctor study finds that 5 to 13% of chatbot medical advice is dangerous or unsafe.
I've never used that. I haven't used chat. I was actually a friend of mine on Saturday who's very deep in that world, kind of what his job was, and he said, look, the thing about AI and chatbots, they're not intelligent. It is an aggregate thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you ask it a question, particularly with medicine. So you ask it a question about something, and it can go through everything that has ever been said about whatever in a billionth of a second, give you an answer. He said the problem is, and he goes, in this country anyway, because capitalism runs amok, he goes, you understand a lot of, I don't want to say a lot of, but there are companies out there. So say you're Procter & Gamble. Okay. So if I'm Procter & Gamble, and I've got the money to do this, I can flood the internet with 50,000 bot-generated blogs mm-hmm. about the benefits of eating Tide Pods, if that's what they decided to do. So when you ask ChatGPT, it goes through and it says, well, Christ, there's 50,000 things that have a positive review of eating Tide Pods, right? And so that's the information it's going to give you. So
right.
he and his company are currently working on something where, kind of the way crypto works, where it's blockchain.
Okay.
If you, Mike, were to put out a study, it would be authenticated through this blockchain, so the aggregate, you weigh more than all the other crap.
Gotcha.
So this doctor has done this study, and it says this.
Right,
so
this
that
is
weighs
an actual
100.
Educated study on
right.
this stuff.
And then the other stuff that is not blockchained out or whatever it is. So that's the only thing with ChatGPT. It's fine for most things, but when you're going for medical stuff, remember, it just takes the aggregate.
Right.
So if everyone is wrong, or if 80% of the people are wrong about something, and this is the best home remedy for this, spray Lysol in your mouth, that's what it's going to tell you.
Right.
It doesn't have ill intent. It does not have good intent. It has no intent. It's just
saying
an aggregate
that over the air might have actually tripped that thing even more.
That's what I mean. Me saying this, right? So it goes, oh, this radio program brought it up. And there it is. So that's the thing about artificial intelligence. It's not intelligence. It's just, it is an aggregate that can spit things out in a conversational voice.
Right.
So that you feel more comfortable. There's no inherent truth to it. Basically what it does, it's like going to a Google search. If everyone is searching for this thing, that's going to be the top hit, right?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And these companies, they have the money to flood the internet with whatever they want to put out there, good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
That is what ChatGPT is going to tell you.
Absolutely.
And it's not going to say anything else.
I mean, half the things that you guys ask for me to look for on the internet, you know, finding what I do, I literally just type in the question into Google, and it gives me the AI overview, as it were.
Right.
That could be completely wrong.
Well, and that's the thing. That was his point. Just going, you know, use it sparingly and understand what it is. You know, people rely on these things, but in the end, you find whoever has the most money puts the information out there, floods the market. So you'll find that sometimes it recommends things that would certainly benefit
mm-hmm.
a company, but there's not necessarily truth to it.
There's new research that has found that plants under stress emit sounds actually above the range of human hearing.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But insects can hear it, and they react to it. I did go a little bit into this one. They actually did a study where they had moths that were wanting to nest or something like that, as it were, and they had two plants. There were two tomato plants. One, they were given plenty of water. The other one, they were dehydrating it.
Okay.
And they flocked to the one that was hydrated, because the dehydrated one, he's now, it's stressed out, it's freaking out, it's screaming at everybody out there that'll hear it, and they prefer to go to the one that doesn't have the noise.
So vegetarians, remember that.
Yeah. Your food's screaming too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, screaming. I mean, plants have feelings.
They do, dude.
Yeah, you just can't hear it.
You play music, and they're happy and they're vibrant. Like, you're eating living things.
Vegetarians don't care.
Yeah, what's like? There's always signs, right? Like, you wouldn't eat this or whatever. It's a pet. It's like, well, the plants live inside your home.
Mm-hmm.
You eat your roommates.
Well, yes.
You do, yeah. Steve, I remember you telling a story about how you basically got HR to add some more stuff to the employee handbook because it wasn't in there, correct?
They were, at CBS Radio, they were very, very, very strict about their handbook, and they put out a new one each year. They would have you sign it. If you violated any of those, you could be let go. So Miles and I both kind of made it a policy to do different things. Like,
yeah.
Let's see if we can get a monkey and put it in the boss's
Let's not sign that book.
Right. And then what we found out, they would update that in the CBS handbook each year.
Why, yes, they would. In fact, there's a whole list of things.
The Men's Room Top 10. The Men's Room Top 10.
10 or more things HR experts say you should never do while you're at work.
Well, I've worked in radio now for 30 years, and one thing I gotta say is I've had my share of HR people that I don't know I would say were or are the most moral or ethical people I've ever met. Maybe that's why I got along so well. Like I had one who would pull out the old THC vape pen for a quick hit or two. This person offered me a hit one time, so I obliged. Now, I rarely have had any good interactions with the marijuana, and one hit off this thing, I had to sit down because I was about to pass out. Two lessons learned here. One, I'm a little bitch. Two, HR people can be a lot of fun.
I know exactly who he's talking about, too.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, God, yeah.
This is a true story?
Yeah.
Yeah,
this particular HR pro, I loved them for obvious reasons. But yeah, they were.
Thank God it wasn't me.
Yeah,
good lordy. So these are 10 things that HR experts say that you should never do while you're at work. They go to the bottom of the list with getting too political.
Well, sure.
Right. Believe it or not, bringing up politics at work is like lighting a match in a room full of fireworks. Office debates about politics usually spiral out of control. And even if you're calmly sharing your opinion, these conversations often leave coworkers feeling uncomfortable or alienated. Work is for collaboration, not argument. So keep the political talk to close friends outside the office, and you'll avoid a lot of unnecessary
tension. You don't have to even talk to me.
Right.
If I'm your close friend, let's just hang out. We don't need to talk about that.
Well, now that we're at the bar, let me tell you, man. No.
No.
I don't want this.
Already read the story.
Next time the boss yells, just to, hey, I'm here to collaborate, not argue.
That's right. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, for 2 seconds.
Acting like the rules don't apply to you. I don't know in any situation where that gets you ahead.
I plead ignorance. I found that works better. Ah, okay, man, I didn't know that. You didn't know to... No, I didn't.
It says, be honest, you know nothing kills team morale faster than someone who plays by their own rules. This kind of behavior normally gets spotted early on, usually from folks who think that their talent excuses bad habits.
Yeah. I cannot imagine.
Who would do that?
I know. That's disgraceful.
I feel like they should update it with don't date the CEO and go to concerts.
Oh, man. Yeah.
That's not a bad call.
He's Coldplay.
Fighting in public. We all know that tension happens at work, but turning a disagreement into a full-blown argument in front of the whole office is a huge mistake. Workplace arguments that get loud or aggressive rarely stay private, and even if you're in the right, yelling or being combative in shared spaces makes you look unprofessional. That's part of the problem with somebody that's combative, is that you have two negative options to go with. Either A, let them do it and you get walked over, basically, or B, stand up for yourself, but now you don't look good either because you're yelling at them just as bad.
I remember getting berated terribly by an old boss of ours. I mean, in the lobby of the radio station. I'd literally just come into work. I knew I was going to get in trouble. I just did not know it was going to be as soon as I opened the door, right? And this guy went out for a couple of minutes. And when he was done, I kind of looked up. I was like, dude, I am sorry. Were you talking to me?
Oh.
And he turned red and just stormed down the hall. I'm like, all right, there we go. Back to work it is.
Good talk. Good talk.
Oh, yeah.
Brushing off feedback. Again, these are 10 things that HR experts say that you should never do while you're at work. Nobody loves being told that they need to improve, but if you shut down the second someone gives you feedback, that's a problem. Those who can't take criticism, especially the constructive kind, quickly learn earn a reputation for being difficult. It's not about perfection, but about being open to growth. So ask questions and show that you care enough to adjust.
You hear that, Tina? When I said you shouldn't wear that shirt because it makes you look fat, it's just constructive
I'm
criticism.
Trying to
constructive
help you improve.
Yeah. I'm not the only one who thinks so.
I want you to be better.
That's right. You know what? If you're better, we're all better. So step it up.
I think constructive criticism is fine as long as it's work stuff.
Yeah.
Agreed. And keep it constructive.
Constructive, right. Sometimes that is the key word.
Sometimes some flavored, colorful language gets thrown in. It's like, that was a little inflammatory. Didn't need to throw that part in, but okay. I see where you're at. Skipping breaks every day. It's no secret that some people think skipping lunch makes them look like heroes. In reality, it makes you look tired and way more likely to mess something up. People who never step away tend to burn out faster and drag the team down, but breaks aren't a luxury. They're how you stay sharp.
Yeah, that's why I barely do anything. Hey, dude, I'm noodling this through.
Flirting with people that you work with.
Ooh.
Sure, crushes happen, but turning your office into a rom-com is a fast track to awkward territory, and often, flirty behavior snowballs into something uncomfortable. Even if things start out mutual, they can turn messy, and coworkers always feel the tension.
First of all, I'm not flirting. I'm simply standing here pantsless.
What's playful to you might feel inappropriate to someone else. So keep it respectful and leave the flirty energy for places that don't involve deadlines and shared products.
How could you turn this down right here? Hey, come on.
I would say, too, stop touching people.
God.
Yeah.
Some people are just touching. It's like, stop.
Right. We're coworkers. Correct. We're not even friends. We're coworkers. Yeah. Like, we're not there. And also, learn who you're there with.
Yes.
From time to time, somebody shows up. It's like, dude, we just met. We are not there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Okay. Thank you. Go away.
Put your shirt back on. Right. Black like this didn't happen.
Zip up your pants now.
Yeah.
Mentally clocking out early. Again, these are 10 things that HR experts say that you should never do at work.
Not even listening to you, Mike.
This might sound familiar to some. You're still on the clock, but your brain has already left the building. This is one of the top things that annoys managers and coworkers alike because it's not about working late. It's about staying present until the workday actually ends. And when someone zones out for the last hour, it creates a drag on the whole team. Stay engaged and finish strong because it shows that you're consistent, not just coasting.
I mean, we're live on the air, but I'm somewhere down in the Chattahoochee.
Chattahoochee. There you go.
Hey, it's my river. I'm mentally there, man. I call it whatever I want. Point is, I'm checked out.
Hey, it's Jimmy Chattahoochee.
Chattahoochee.
Hey, man, where you been?
Complaining about work online. If you thought nobody at work would spot you posting something vague on social media, you'd probably be wrong. Too many times companies have dealt with countless situations where a just venting post led to real consequences, and posting about your job can make you look careless and ungrateful.
I think anything.
Just in general.
I mean, topic-wise.
Right.
If they don't like what you posted, they could fire you.
Right.
So don't do it.
Don't do it at all.
Also,
no.
Look, I'm not here to judge. If you take a sick day, don't post photos of you doing fun stuff.
That's right.
No, dude.
And I would go as far as saying it's like, maybe don't go to the same local spots if you've called out sick. Like, people are going to be like, what are you doing?
Why are you here?
Yeah.
If you've ever accidentally run into your boss at the bar, don't go to that bar.
I know. When we moved buildings, I was like, damn it. A secret spot. Everybody from work's going to start going to them. And it happened.
No. Ignoring company policies. You might think that nobody actually cares about the company handbook, but HR does. And so do your coworkers when they're picking up the slack after you skipped over the rules. It's easy to roll your eyes at policies that seem overly specific or outdated, but they exist for a reason, and blowing them off can land you in hot water. So do not ignore those company policies.
Well, I mean, you're right. I know it's important, HR, but nobody else cares.
Yeah.
And I know HR knows that.
Right. Absolutely. 10 things that HR experts say that you should never do while you're at work. You keep showing up late.
Well, yeah.
We all hate that one coworker who's always late. But HR hears the same old excuses every day. When you're constantly rolling in after everyone else, it starts to feel disrespectful. And over time, it chips away at your credibility. Being dependable isn't just about doing good work. It's also about showing up when you say that you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Right. Be prompt. Be there.
You shouldn't have to explain that.
Exactly. People. And then I'll leave you with this final thing that HR experts say that you should never do while you're at work. Talking trash about your coworkers. Let's just say this. People who gossip at work rarely come out looking good. Even if you're blowing off steam, those snide comments about a teammate tend to make you the one folks side-eye. And once your name gets tied into drama, trust goes out the window. If someone's truly causing problems, take it up with your manager. Otherwise, zip it and move on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Be careful what you say, man. Everybody's listening.
It is. That can be tough, though.
Absolutely.
I don't know anybody that never says anything bad about a relationship.
Right.
You work with people every day. You know what I mean? It's
sure.
Like, I don't think that guy hates his wife. I think she really annoyed him too.
Yeah, right. You know what I
mean? Well, and sometimes you just need to ask other people, like, are you seeing what I'm seeing? Like, am I nuts for this?
Is Gary a real douche waffle?
Right.
Yeah.
Or do I just need to calm down?
Right.
Did I just not like him because he started touching me the first day that he met me?
Right?
Jesus.
And he thinks it's the Chattanoochee.
Hey, baby, let me see that thing.
Dumbass.
Oh, my God, he's dumb.
A man in the UK was arrested for walking down the street with a weapon, but there's a little misunderstanding, Miles.
What was going on there?
Tell you about it at 5:50.
Thank you, sir. Headlines are coming up at 5:50 in the meantime. We've made it to drinking time.
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Good time it is. As usual, we head to the drink test. Scan Steve the Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. And today we toast 22-year-old Aaron Putnam of Northumberland, England.
Putnam.
Now, like many 22-year-olds, Aaron went out to the local pubs and enjoyed copious amounts of booze. Now, the following morning, Aaron woke up in her apartment and was stunned to discover a seagull flying around her home, even though her windows were closed. That's when she had to think back, and she remembered that in her drunken stupor, she'd spotted the bird outside of the bar and decided that she needed to bring it home, and it was going to be her pet. So that's exactly what she did. Anyway, after her reunion with sobriety, she made the right decision and actually took the seagull to the local veterinary clinic, and that's when she was informed that her impromptu pet seagull was carrying bird flu.
Oh, oh no.
Just God damn it.
That's so good.
She wakes up to the seagull, and she's like, it took me a minute to remember. I'm like, oh, that's right. Apparently, she wrapped it in a blanket, brought it home, and danced with it. Anyway, took it to the clinic, and they're like, cool, thanks for bringing it. By the way, it has bird flu. Get checked. So we pour this booze. And we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy.
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies.
Down the hola, bitchola. All right, let's get a contestant online now for Profile This, 206-803-ROCK. Profile This is next.